What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to No Ceilings. We are on your YouTube channel. We are on your podcast player of choice. I'm Stephen Gillespie. And ladies and gentlemen, I have a very special prospect interview lined up today. So we have here, he measured 6'1" without shoes, a little over 208 pounds from Summit, Mississippi. So we're essentially neighbors. Played at the University of Florida, where he is now an NCAA champion. Elijah Martin. Elijah, how are we doing today, bro?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Man, I can't complain. I mentioned that we're neighbors. I'm from Arkansas originally.
Yeah, I was about to ask, where you from?
Yeah, from Arkansas. So if you're familiar, I grew up in central Arkansas, like around Conway area.
Okay. I'm not familiar, but I know it's central Arkansas then.
Okay, right on. Yeah, just a little bit, about an hour and 15 minutes north of Little Rock. So yeah, that helps with the listeners out there, man. But Elijah, dude, I'm super happy to have you on. I've written about you this year in a piece titled Winning Over Everything over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. I've been bringing you up in mock drafts and stuff like that. Super stoked to have you on, man. So let's get into it. I always like to ask this question. What got you into basketball?
What got me into basketball? I say just follow my mom. You know, she was a middle school coach. She coached in the Rotary League. She always coached basketball. And I'm pretty sure when I got to the age where I could walk on my own and stuff like that, I was following in the gym. So I say that really got me into basketball.
That's awesome, man. And you play like a coach's kid for sure. But basketball wasn't your only sport growing up. I mean, as most people play multiple sports, you were a dual sport athlete. Coming out of high school, you were actually a really talented quarterback. Do you think that having that multi-sport background has helped you for as sure. a basketball player?
For sure. There's certain movements and stuff like that you just get from playing football, and just the toughness and the grit, like the physicality that comes from a football background, you know, that helps with basketball as well. So that's something I'm very proud of doing, which is playing multiple sports like football, basketball, baseball, track. I tried soccer for 1 year. You know, that's one of the things that I'm just really proud that I did growing up.
Yeah, man. I mean, you get to learn different cuts, different movements, and that can translate in a bunch of different ways on the court for sure. So coming out of high school, Elijah, you committed to play for Florida Atlantic. What was that recruitment process like for you coming out of high school and then committing to play for FAU?
It was stressful because, you know, I felt like I was on the same level as those guys that had all the stars and stuff like that, and just not having stars and being underrated, unranked. You know, it was stressful because you have the same numbers as those guys, but you just won't have the same offers and stuff and same looks. But it was weird, you know, coming from Mississippi. It's only a select few, like, schools that'll know about you if you're a Mississippi guy. Like, it's not like you're in Texas and everybody in the country knows about you and stuff like that. So I had probably, like, four offers in Florida Atlantic, you know, being the one that I chose with. And it's been rolling ever since.
So what led into that? I know that you just mentioned that you had – around four offers coming out of high school to play college basketball. What was it about Florida Atlantic that made you feel comfortable enough committing to play for them?
I tell this story all the time. You know, I was finna commit to McNeese State because Michael DeBose was there, and, you know, he basically like my big brother and stuff like that. So I was finna go rock out with him in McNeese State. And then Coach Todd Abernathy, he called me right the day before I was about to sign to McNeese State, and we set up a Zoom, we set up like slideshows and stuff like that, and because it was COVID, you know, you couldn't get out, you couldn't get to campus and visit and stuff like that and see it for yourself. So I had to just, you know, do my own research, do everything like through the phone, and what really sold me was the palm trees.
There you go. So I live in Southeast Georgia. I'm just like a 30 second drive off of 95 to being down in Florida. So it's definitely a beautiful place to play, man. Yeah. So I don't blame you at all, especially, you know, coming from where we're from, being able to live in Florida for a little bit. It's a nice little change of scenery, man.
For sure. It was a culture shock for sure. Like the first day I got there, it was like, yo, what is this? What is that?
A big change just... from the Delta, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right. So coming out of high school, you mentioned, you know, you weren't as highly, you know, recruited, and you didn't have those same star ranking as some of the other guys that you compared favorably to. Was there a big adjustment period for you as a freshman playing D1 basketball compared to coming out of Mississippi?
For sure. Like, it was a lot about the game that I did not know about the game. It was just more to it than just scoring, you know. But that freshman year, it was a learning curve, and it was all about adversity, because mm-hmm. my talents didn't transfer right away, you know. And I had to learn some things, had to learn some stuff about myself. Then it was COVID. Like, you go from 2 weeks playing and 2 weeks in a room, you know. So yeah. You don't know if you're playing this week. You don't know if you're going to be playing in 2 weeks. Like, it just was – it was unordinary, you know. Let me just say that. And made it work. We made it work. And that following year, we made a jump.
I feel like so many people, like even myself, I find myself slipping that – we forget COVID was a period in history. You know, we have already moved off of it so quickly, but so many athletes such as yourself were drastically, you had to make a life changing decision in the midst of an unorthodox time period in history. Yep. Man, that's tough.
Had to make a huge decision in the middle of a pandemic, not knowing for sure. Basketball is going to be a thing, not knowing if you can be able to move around how you was previously, like in the years before. You know, it was just COVID was COVID. Let me just say that. It was real.
You can't compare it to anything else that we've ever been through, for sure, man. So after your freshman season, Elijah, you went on to being a starter for the majority of the rest of your time with the Owls, but you played, I would say, a different role for the team, you know, as you continue to play for them, to grow in your understanding of the game, physically, things like that. What led to the role that you eventually had in coming into your senior year with the Owls? Like, what developments do you feel like were huge for you, like as a player coming into your senior year?
I think the role never changed, because I was playing at a high level, and like, my coaches knew what they were going to get from me.
Mm-hmm.
But I say what changed throughout the years is just sharpening my tool bat, you know, things like that. And just become a vet, you know, you get smarter, you tone up, like all the things physically. And then obviously the basketball stuff is just getting better with every day. And that's what I did a really good job doing. Shout out to Coach May and the staff over there. They do a really good job of player development and stuff like that.
For sure. Let me ask you this now. What was it like for you playing for Dusty May, who has now gone on to coach at Michigan? You know, that FAU team, for all intents and purposes, that was like a breeding ground for just talent, both as coaches and as players. And now you guys have all kind of spread off and had success in a bunch of different places.
Yeah, playing for Coach May was great, man. He's really good at, like, teaching you the game. He's really good at, like, just understanding who you are, showing you who you are, showing you who you could be. I remember the first time I was in his office or something like that, and he told me I could be like a Lou Dort. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I was like, yo, like, I believe everything that he's saying, you know, because he knows the game. He's not telling me something crazy, like I could be like LeBron James or something. You know what I mean? He's not telling me nothing like that. He's telling me stuff that that you can use, you know.
Achievable goals, right?
Yeah, and, you know, just back to what you just said, you know, we got Nelly, Vlad, Nick, G, just those guys. I mean, previous guys, too. I can name them all for days, but he does a really good job of developing guys. And once we develop a name for ourselves, it was time to spread our wings.
I mean, and how fitting for the Owls spreading your wings, right? You guys made it to the Final Four, like with that team. What was that experience like for you, man? Like being nationally considered like this underdog team, you know, you come from Mississippi on this team full of players at similar positions as you, right? What was that like, man, going through the Final Four with FAU?
Man, by far one of the best experiences playing basketball. Because with that team, you know, we created a real bond, a real family. And to be able to put FAU, a school that's not known for, not even known for basketball, right, things like that, and just to put them on the map, you know, and kind of changed the school's trajectory, you know, kind of made it a basketball school. And it's just crazy because now that I think about it, that my class, like Nick G, Nelly, we was all sitting on the couch like this freshman year, like, you know, we just like, we got to make this a basketball school. We got to put the school on the map. And to be able to do that, you know, that's just what dreams are made of, honestly.
It's a huge accomplishment, man.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
That being a really, you know, big dream season and you having really high aspirations, like as a player, like everything I know about you, you have very high goals for yourself, man. You ended up entering the transfer portal. I'm sure that wasn't just like a super duper easy decision for you to make because you still speak incredibly highly of your experience at FAU. What led to your decision to enter the transfer portal? And then one thing I also like to ask is, what was your experience in the portal like? I'm always fascinated to know, like, the player experience in that side.
What led me up to entering the transfer portal? Many different reasons. Like, that senior year, I didn't really have the year I really wanted or I expected. And then Coach May took a better job in Michigan. A couple guys into the portal. And I just knew that I needed to get my name out there. I need to get my name out there. I need to get in the pro style offense. And that's what Florida had to offer. You know, I entered the portal with a do not contact list because I just wanted to go at the schools that I had a good fit for, you know. And ultimately, they led me to Florida, which is the ultimate blessing. Because we was able to win national championship and also get to display my talents in a bigger brand, bigger stadium, and also just create new family, new relationships, things like that. So I'm just happy that I made that step, honestly.
For sure. So, I mean, and I always feel like Florida in the portal era, if we can call it that, right? Florida is top notch with the players that they specifically feel like will help their program, right? But they can also kind of be a benefit to the player. It feels like a very mutual thing.
It's mutual.
Yeah. So what makes it that way? Like, what's the environment at Florida like that makes it such like a benefit for everybody involved?
Honestly, it's the history. It's the history. Florida is a historically really great university, really great sports, really great school, academics and stuff like that. And one of the things that really sold me is that, you know, I could be having lunch with future first rounders, Olympics, you know, gold medalists, stuff like that, you know. And if you're an athlete, you know, you want to surround yourself with the best. And that's what really Florida has to offer.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, being from Arkansas, I'm a Razorback guy. It pains me to say that sometimes, but, you know, you gotta call it how it is, man. Florida does a tremendous job with their approach to many athletics, but I feel like basketball program there is top notch, man. So
it is.
You finished this past year averaging over 14 points per game, almost 5 rebounds, over 2 assists, and a steal and a half per game. You put up shooting splits of 45, 35, and 76. So, in other words, an incredibly productive Elijah Martin season at Florida this year. What was your mentality like coming to play at Florida for your last year of college basketball?
Oh, man, the mentality early on was just put in the most amount of work that you can. I didn't want to leave college knowing that I could have worked out preseason more. You know, I was in the gym like a madman. And, you know, I just wanted to build a relationship with the guys, you know, because I knew, like, if you want to be a deep team, you want to be a strong team, that team chemistry and bonding is everything. And once we did those two things and the season came around, it was just all the momentum and all the confidence in the world. My mindset was just put the most work in possibly, though.
That fits everything that I've ever heard about you, Elijah. That makes so much sense just hearing you say it to me, man. It's like, yep, okay, I could imagine that. So you obviously had a lot of goals or things that you wanted to. Did you have anything that you wanted to improve upon your game now that you were in like a different system, so to speak, playing for Florida? Was there anything that you came into the year wanting to say, I want to do what's best for the team, but personally, this is what I want to kind of improve upon my last year?
I had the idea that I wanted to create more off the ball. I mean, on the ball. Create more on the ball because I'm pretty excellent off the ball and stuff like that. So teams like the pro teams haven't seen much me do much with the ball. So I wanted to display that. And, you know, Florida offered it to me, and I had great guys around me, you know, that made plays and always made the game easier for me and vice versa. So Florida was a perfect spot for me.
Yeah, I mean, it was a perfect spot for you for sure because you played a major part in their run to winning a national championship, obviously, this season. And again, Elijah, one of the things that I continuously and consistently hear about you is how great of a teammate you are. One of my favorite stories that I saw come up nationally this year was you took the time to send a picture to all of your teammates from where they started their basketball journey to where they are now. So what led to you doing that? Because obviously this was like of your own volition. Like no one told you to do this. Like you just being the great leader you are, you clearly wanted to send a message to your teammates.
Right. Throughout the year, I always talked to my trainer before games, after games, and he gave me a message, you know, to he gave me an idea, you know, how to keep the guys humble, how to keep them grounded. And I came up with the idea of, like, you know, just, you know, where you started from, you know, because that roster itself is full of underdogs, full of unranked guys, stuff like that. So we had a bunch of success, and I got with a manager. I was like, yo, you can do me a favor. And he was like, yeah, what you need? I said, can you find an old basketball picture of everybody, you know, just from the journey. And it was managers, coaches, players, it was everybody. And everybody loved it. And I think, I don't remember when it was, maybe SEC tournament or NCAA tournament when I put it out there. But I also reminded them, too, like I emphasized in the group chat, you know, stay humble, stay grounded. Because when you have a lot of people pulling on your coattail, telling you this and all of that, you know, you can smell yourself a little bit. And I didn't want that to happen to us.
I love that, man. You got to have that humble but hungry mentality, you know.
Yeah,
I
mean, definitely.
I love that so much, man. So not only are you a great leader on the intangible aspects of basketball, the things that not everybody gets to see or the things that you can't really quantify, but you do so much on the floor. One of my favorite things that I noticed from you, especially in the March Madness run, was two things really, Elijah. One, it was that you could defend up and down the lineup, which I think that speaks to the mentality that you have. But also, you come down with the most timely rebounds too. You know, I was speaking to a bunch of people during the national title run that you had. And one of the things when I was talking about you in particular was, sure, Elijah might have only had like 3 or 4 rebounds in this game. And I say only, like that's still great, but they were the most important rebounds of the game. So like how does that come into play for you, man? Is that just something that you've just always had?
The rebounding, yeah, I always had a good good feel for the game, like in terms of like rebounding, and that's just my God-given abilities, which is the vertical pop and the speed to get to them and stuff like that. But when it's time to win, you know, you can't give in to anything that's in your mind. You got to do whatever the team needs, and if that's what they need me to crash the glass get an extra possession, or, you know, get a defensive board over a 7-footer. Let's do it. Like, I'm whatever we need to do to win. So that's kind of like my whole mindset, really, is just win the game.
You see that if for anybody who's watching the NBA playoffs right now, like look at the Indiana Pacers, TJ McConnell, you know, he's like a sub 35% shooter from deep. He's sub 6'4", but he plays a vital role on that team. And he's just like an all out hustle guy. You know, the Pacers are full of them too, to include like Andrew Nembhard, who real great defender, who lined up against Brunson. But I see a lot of those same aspects in you. And I think sometimes basketball gets made out to be, can you shoot and can you defend? But there's so many of other things that happen on the floor, rebounding being one of them. And that's why I think, Elijah, that you're going to translate well wherever you go. It's because you do all the winning type for plays, sure, as well. But Elijah, I want to ask you now, because you had the experience of going through the NBA draft combine. What's that process like for a player? Because I know it's more than just the games, but there's like speaking to teams, you know, people that you're speaking to, there's measurements, there's testing. Like, what was your experience like at the combine?
My experience at the combine was fun. It was fun. As a player, it's real fun, but as a competitor, it could be a little challenge, you know, just the whole setup of the combine and, you know, being teammates for 24 hours, you know, but, you know, the combine is for you to display your talents. And if you're one of those guys that can do it in any circumstances and stuff like that, you'll be able to do that. But it was my first time at the combine, which is a blessing. But I feel like I did really good. You know, I was able to show that I can, you know, initiate offense, pick up 94 feet as well, play the right way, defend. You know, I was able to do everything that, you know, teams that might doubt, you know.
For sure. And at that, Elijah, that's perfectly my next question or statement, then question, was going to be, I felt like you did a pretty good job at the combine. I mentioned that on our combine recap show for the Draft Sicko show that we do here on No Ceilings. I said that Hanson Yang, like, he doesn't have the assist that he has if it's not for you making those timely cuts to the basket. And I know that you're not going to take all the credit because you're a great teammate, right?
Nah, but I love playing with Yang, man.
What was that like? Because not a lot of people know about Hanson Yang. Like, can you give us something about Hanson here?
Man, it was fun. It was really fun because Yang, he seemed like, I don't know Yang, but I ran across him 4 or 5 days, you know, including the combine and the workout we were just at. He seemed pretty fun. I love playing with Yang. I love playing with, like, bigs like him. He loves the pass. Mm-hmm. He's super skilled. Got a good feel for the game. But it was just fun because he couldn't understand English. So right. I'm communicating to his translator to translate to him. And just to see it happen, it's crazy how the game, you know, evolved. And everybody got the same terminology. It's basketball. It's a game, and everybody understands no matter the languages. So
I was about to say, man. People always say basketball is a universal language, right?
So yeah, it is.
that's pretty cool, man. So Elijah, I'm gonna thank you now, but also I got one more question for you. I just appreciate the time that you're giving me because I know you got a very busy schedule. Last question that I always ask a prospect when I talk to them is that with the NBA obviously being the goal, right? Like making the team, but then staying in the league too, right? If a team were to invest in Elijah Martin, what type of player would they be getting?
They would be getting everything that they've seen on film and some, because I'm definitely going to develop. I got a lot more in my game to show, to do. But off the gate, you're going to get an unbelievable competitor, defender, and ultimate winner, you know. Mm. That's my whole motto is to win.
And again, from everybody that I've talked to that knows you, man, like everybody always says the same thing, that you're not going to find anybody who's going to want to compete as much as Elijah. But, man, I want to thank you so much for your time. I know that you have a lot, like I said, going on your schedule. Do you mind sharing where people can find and follow kind of your continued basketball journey, like on social media?
I got you. But first of all, I want to thank you for allowing me to come on your platform, and thank you for all the support you've been giving me all season. And y'all can find me at ElijahMartin15, on Instagram and TikTok. Twitter is Martin_Elijah. And that's it.
All right. We'll keep it simple. But again, I want to thank Elijah, and I want to thank everybody who's watching and listening out there. You can find us at No Ceilings NBA on all your social media needs. We just had our draft guide drop today, which does feature Elijah, a write-up written by yours truly here. Really happy with that. Yeah, man, no problem. Go check it out, Elijah.
I will. Don't worry. I will. Sure.
All right, man. All right. But for everybody watching and listening, thank you all so much. Follow us, and we'll catch up with y'all next time. Much love, everybody.
Let's do it.